You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman filling in for James Edwards on the Political Cesspool radio program. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic, as I certainly am. James Edwards, literally on vacation, 10th year wedding anniversary with his lovely wife and his wonderful family. And so they're taking a break. I'm sitting in. And it's been kind of a blessing to sit in because James Edwards has been saving the Donald Trump Jr. interview he promised to air on the Political Cesspool. We've been able to run that tonight, and we've been filling that in with some commentary that I provided on my radio program regarding the interview. We did the interview once, and then what happened is they went ballistic, the mainstream press, and so I re-aired the interview just to mock them. And I had James on with me while we re-aired the Donald Trump interview. And we broke down commentary. And then the second hour after that, I had James on. And we broke it all down and talked about it and everything else. And long story short, I wrote an open letter to Donald Trump over this whole thing. If you want to check it out, go to LibertyRoundtable.com or look on Google, open letter Donald Trump, Sam Bushman. You'll find it. And I absolutely gave a scathing open letter to the Trump campaign, to a bunch of news services. Those are the ones that tried to slaughter us and call us racist in the beginning. They're losing big. We've got media coverage to the tune of millions of dollars out of this thing. The story went around the world, ladies and gentlemen. And they were all calling us racist and everything else. But they lied, and they got caught lying, and I eventually released the show notes and the emails proving that the Donald Trump campaign reached out to us first. Anyway, I digress, but I'm telling you all this because last hour we covered this in detail. If you didn't get to hear it, I'm telling you, it's worth downloading the archives. They'll be up later tonight. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is where you get that done. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. Anyway, check that out. But I saved the last couple of minutes of the interview to air in this hour, just so you can get kind of a flavor of the interview we did. It was Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby on my show, Liberty Roundtable Live. We had James Edwards tapped in as a co-host slash guest, and Donald Trump Jr. was the guest. So I'm going to play this. There's only about 2 minutes and 33 seconds left in this interview, but I thought it was worth finishing or finalizing in this hour, and that way it kind of lets people know if they don't hear the other hour, they'll know what they're missing, and hopefully they'll tune in. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. All right, here's the final minutes of that interview.
But if you're fed up and you're sick and tired of it like I am, and like all the people that I run into, that I've run into, you know, across the country now that I've been a politician for, you know, 9.5 days, if you're fed up, go vote for my father. You're going to see some change.
Well, like everybody else on the planet, everyone's frustrated.
Here, not just with my, you know, the minorities are going to come out, but the white working class is going to come out, which is really the base.
Oh, by the way, think about it. I can't tell you, we've built more jobs, union, and stuff like that than anyone. But you think, you know, those traditional voting blocks that are union guys, do you think they're voting for Hillary? What have the Democrats done for the unions, for the hard-working guys?
No, they're
absolutely
not
nothing. You know, they keep going, they keep allowing everyone who doesn't belong in the country, let them in, give them jobs, give them this, give them health care, let them undercut your wages and prices. You know, those guys are going to come out for, you know, a Republican for the first time ever. It's a movement.
All right, Donald Trump Jr. with us, ladies and gentlemen. One last point, then you can make a parting shot and fly. You know, it seems to me that Donald Trump has almost become the elixir of truth. In other words, at first these politicians make you believe this and lie about that, and pretty soon, though, you find out who's who when Donald jumps in the middle of it. Pretty soon you got Glenn Beck completely out of control. You got all these different people just beside themselves. Ben Sasse was supposedly elected as a good conservative guy. Now he's going, I'm going to vote third party if Trump gets the nomination. These people are melting down and showing their true colors, Donald.
Listen, I agree, but it goes to show you how desperate and weak they are. You know, they know their little party is over. They know they've been taking advantage of the American people for too long. And now, because of my father, we're on to him. We get it. We see what's going on. You know, he's you know, picked up the skirt, so to speak. Everyone knows what's going on now, and they can't get away with it. You know what? It's time. It's time for these guys to be held accountable. To actually be held accountable. I mean, it's a novel concept. If Marco Rubio, he shows up to his job 35% of the time, and he talks about all his experience and all the things. You know, what happens if you show up to your job 35% of the time? You don't have a
job. Nah, 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 nah. I'm gone.
It's ridiculous. It's over. It's over.
All right, you got a parting shot,
just
sir?
Encourage. Listen, guys, just get out and vote. You know, showing up to the rallies, being supportive on social, you know, showing up and screaming for Trump, putting up signs in your yard, none of it means anything if you don't actually go out and vote. So go out, vote. Vote for my father. We're going to make America great again. Thank you so much.
Godspeed. Tell your family hello from us. Thank you, sir.
There you have it.
There's the interview. There's the interview, ladies and gentlemen. All I'm telling you is the interview was stellar. The interview was good. You know what? Even when James Edwards said, yeah, what is the white working class going to do? Are they going to vote for Hillary? Not a chance. And Donald Trump Jr. even went, you know what? That's right. I agree. What have they done? He agreed with every point we made in the interview. At least he sure sounded like it. And so it's fascinating to me when he then starts talking about how weak these different people are. And then when the mainstream press lies, we know they lied because they were forced to print a retraction when I threatened to sue Politico. We know, and so, and then when Trump Jr. disavows us and jettisons us and says that he didn't know and says that, man, you know, it was kind of like cloak and dagger. I didn't know who was who in the interviews and I didn't know I was being interviewed by a racist. And okay, that's all a lie. We talked about so many things. He agreed with everything we said. It was a stellar interview. It was not racist in any way, but it literally focused on his campaign. It focused on the problems with government, the problems with the media, the problems with the lying of the mainstream press in bed with politicians, the elixir, the changing that Donald Trump's bringing to the table. And it was a tremendous interview. And I can't believe Donald Jr. backed away from it. And then he calls everybody else weak? James Edwards is a white advocate. So am I. But we are not in any way white supremacists. We don't want to down any other culture or any other race. We want equality for all, special privileges for none. It is that simple, folks. The interview can be found at libertyroundtable.com. Check it out. It was a stellar interview. Just type in the following. Liberty space roundtable, spaced Donald, spaced Trump, and you'll find the interview. I'm telling you, it was a great interview, and I think that everybody should be proud of it. I won't back away or apologize one bit. We talked about Trump's family. We talked about him growing up as a kid. What is there not to like in terms of tapping into the Donald Trump family? What is there not to like about bringing people together and saying, you know what? We can all agree that the government and the mainstream press are lying, and we got to change that. We're sick of it. We're coming together for solutions. I will stand by that interview, and I'm disappointed in Donald Trump Jr. for backing away. But my open letter to Donald Trump really lays it out very succinctly, my fellow Americans. I may not be a very good writer, but take a gander at it and see what you think. See if I failed or if I wrote anything that made any sense on that score. But I'm telling you, it's amazing. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Our guest this hour, Karen Smith. If you don't know who Karen Smith is, you're living under a rock. We'll tell you exactly who she is. We'll tell you what she does. We'll focus on solutions as we always do. And there's a group of Americans that, sad to say, what, they're in the back of the bus maybe? Is that the best way to describe it? All right, we'll talk about it all. You are listening to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. James Edwards on vacation with his family. Sam Bushman filling in. We're garnering millions of dollars of free media with all these scandals that they can't handle. And we got it going on, ladies and gentlemen. This is your favorite talk show.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer-rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Sam Bushman filling in for vacationing James Edwards. He's celebrating his 10th year wedding anniversary. Eddie the Bombardier Miller's running a marathon. Keith is probably sleeping. I'm holding down the fort, ladies and gentlemen. We got it going on. Karen Smith has the opportunity to swim in deep waters with the political cesspool folks. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Sam. Thank you very much. It's an honor and a privilege to be here.
You're welcome. If you can do me a favor and pick up your phone so you're not on speakerphone, that'd be really good.
Is that better?
Yep. In the meantime, question for you. Did you get a chance to hear that Donald Trump Jr. interview?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think? Was it racist?
No.
All right. Now, a bunch of racists conducted that interview, right?
Apparently so, yes.
But these people are crazy, though. It isn't true in any stretch of the imagination. Just because we believe in European heritage and we want to preserve our heritage, as we encourage every other culture to do, and we acknowledge they have the right to do, why would the white people be the only one that's not allowed to do that? Every other culture does it, and they promote it big time. And if you say anything about it, you're a racist. On the other hand, white people are not allowed to do that. If they do, then they're racist. The double standard is out of this world. And when we interviewed Donald Trump Jr., there was not a single racist thing about it.
Not a thing. Not a thing, but you and I both know, Sam, that black people cannot be racist. I mean, that has been promoted worldwide.
Unless they're racist.
The South African government says that black people cannot be racist.
And my response is, but what if they are racist? I'm going to tell you a little story. I am a blind person, as you know.
Yes.
And I had a guy come to my door. He was a salesman. And he knocked on the door, and I opened the door, and I had a couple of my little kids with me. Nobody else. And the guy starts talking, and he's telling me, hey, I got this awesome thing. You want to learn about it and everything else and da-da-da. And all of a sudden, he stops. In the middle of his sales pitch, he goes, sir, it don't rub off. And I'm like, excuse me?
Uh-huh.
It don't rub off. I'm like, what are you talking about? Sir, I understand I'm walking through this white neighborhood here, and you don't want to shake my hand because I understand, sir. Well, I didn't know he had his hand out.
Exactly.
All right, and so then I offered to shake his hand, and he goes, no, no, sir. You don't need to do no makeups. You don't need to feel bad for yourself. You don't need to shake my hand out of pity. And then I said, well, sir, listen, I'm glad to shake your hand. I didn't know you had your hand out. No, it's okay, sir. And then he goes, And I know you don't want to buy anything from me either because you don't want to help no poor black folks come in your neighborhood, do you? And I went, are you kidding me? This is beyond. Well, my kid said, yeah, Daddy, he had his hand out, and you obviously didn't see it, so he didn't shake his hand. I have no problem shaking the guy's hand. I'm just telling you, this is, okay, I'm submitting to you that black gentleman was a racist.
Absolutely. There is no question about it. And a lot of the things that are being done today are racist against the blacks because they want less, better, everything than whites. They want to pass at a lesser, with a lesser percentage than whites do. It's racist to correct their spelling and their grammar. It's racist to, but
I would say that it's doing nothing but taking care of our brothers and sisters and helping everybody in the world better themselves.
Yes, Sam, but isn't it the other way around? If you are telling black people constantly that they are not good enough to get the same percentage marks as white people, they're not good enough to have their grammar and spelling corrected. They are being racist against themselves. It's stupid.
It is beyond imagination. And if you try to say you need fathers in the homes, you need education, then they look at you and say, what kind of evil are you? In fact, Sean Bergen, a white broadcaster on TV in New York, got fired over this very thing. He said the problem here is we need dads in the homes. And they literally fired him.
Yes.
Over that issue.
They fired a South African broadcaster because he said people do not understand freedom of speech. That was his statement. And he got fired because that's racist. So I can never wrap my head around what is and what isn't racist. I just think being white and opening your mouth is automatically racist.
Makes you wonder what we can do about it. I had an interview regarding the million people that have signed the transgender bathroom.
Yes.
Against white. Target, or a Target, if you will.
Yes.
And I've been one of the signers on that, but there was a lady that came on my show. And she's with the American Family Association. And they just gave me this lady and said, hey, you know what? Here's your person for the interview. I did not know she was black till she came on the program. By the way, I don't really care that she was black either. I'm just making a point.
Yes.
Her name was Mieke Addison. And she's with the American Family Association, the AFA. And she is a well-known talk show host, and she's with the, what's this thing called? Anyway, she's with, like, the Urban Talk channel.
Oh, wow.
And a communications expert, and she's a black lady, with the American Family Association. And she literally came on my program and talked about how racist they are, because they attack her. She's a mother of four children and a baby on the way. She advocates for all Americans working together. She stands on morals. She was a stay-at-home mom before she became this talk show host in the urban market. And her whole message is blacks speaking to blacks about how we can all work together and reject these false notions. And they attack her as a black woman relentlessly because she dares to try to improve the situation of people all over the country. She came on my program. It was one of the best interviews last week I have ever had. She was articulate. She was educated. She was polite. She was not a racist. Her and I want the same things for all people. How does that work if I'm a racist?
Well, I think we all do.
Of course we do.
We all do. We want everybody to have freedom. We want everybody to have the freedom to associate or not associate with whoever they want to. We want people to thrive, be educated, live the American dream, and I don't care what color you are. You can be green, as far as I'm concerned. We want that for everybody. But we do not want ourselves to be discriminated against at every turn.
Now, by the way, that was the broadcast where Mieke Addison came on my radio show, Liberty Roundtable Live. It was Thursday, April 28th, just a couple of days ago. You can find it at libertyroundtable.com. My goal isn't really to use James Edwards' program to promote my own show, but I want people to understand, why didn't the mainstream press come back now and say, Sam Bushman interviews Mieke Addison? Why didn't they talk about that? Isn't that a black woman and a white man getting together to stand for the embetterment of everyone everywhere and standing for the protection of women and children? Where's the credit we deserve for working together for solutions? And the answer is nothing but a resounding silence from these people, Karen Smith.
Yes, I know, Sam. The resounding silence from the media about anything white, except when it's against anything white, is shocking. And, I mean, that's what frightened me for 22 years now, is that the media has turned their back on the whites in South Africa and absolutely don't care that they're being slaughtered, annihilated, thrown out of the workplace, starved to death. They don't care because they achieved their goal of getting rid of the dreaded apartheid system, and now everything's rosy in the Rainbow Nation.
But I care, and I would be wanting to stand up for them, no matter whether they're white or black or who they are. And I want to stand up for people in America that are having trouble. I want to stand up for people in Africa that are having trouble. I want to have a balance between taking care of refugees and stopping those who would be terrorists. And I want the embetterment of everyone, ladies and gentlemen, everyone. All right, Karen Smith is our guest. When we get back, I'm going to have Karen break down who she is. She does her own radio program. She's involved in some tremendous work. We're going to talk all about it. But before I do, I want to mention this before the break. James Edwards, of course, will be back in the saddle next week. And we're going to close the Confederate Heritage Month with an incredible broadcast, one of James's favorites, third hour tonight as well. Quick pause, Karen Smith in seconds.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, the American Freedom Party. .us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, the Bombardier's running a marathon. Sam Bushman's taking care of a marathon broadcast for James Edwards. Then after that, Ken Daly's show as well. I got 4 hours of radio to do tonight. Karen Smith in the marathon with me. James Edwards kicking back like on the beach or something.
Good for him.
So, you know what? That's how it is. Sam works and James kind of hangs out. No, I'm just kidding. He works hard every day, ladies and gentlemen. I give him a little break once in a while. We appreciate that. Karen Smith with us. Karen, let's talk a little bit about who you are. First off, where were you born? Where'd you grow up, et cetera?
I was born in what was then Rhodesia, now called Zimbabwe. I lived there for the first 8 years of my life. And then we left because the civil war hit and my dad was beaten to a pulp doing block watch one night and left on our porch for dead. And that same night, my mother had had a brick thrown through the windscreen of her car, and she was very, very pregnant. And that night, she didn't have time to get to the hospital. She just gave birth to my baby brother at home with my dad laying on the porch in a puddle of blood. So they decided, with five children under 10 years old, this was not a place to try and raise their family. And we left and went to Southwest Africa, which is now Namibia.
Now, before we get there, though, why did they beat up your father? What's the issue?
He was doing block watch. The Rhodesia had lost its independence. The civil war was happening, and the men in each area did block watch at night. So they divided up into hours, and certain men would patrol the block during the night to make sure that we were safe, because what was happening is they were chopping dogs' heads off and putting them on our face posts and knocking on the door, and if you opened the door, they'd be outside with a machete and cut your head off as your head stuck through the doorway. So they were patrolling the neighborhoods to make sure or to try and keep people safe. But unfortunately, the two guys that were patrolling that night, my dad and another man, they had far too many people come against them, and they could not defend themselves against so many. And my dad was severely beaten and just dropped off on our porch, because they were trying to make a statement at that time that the whites were helpless and could not stand up against the onslaught. So they would.
In other words, you couldn't have equality. You couldn't have respect for one another. These people were doing this were black?
Yes.
I would submit to you that's kind of racist to say, because you're white, we're going to make a statement. We're going to beat the tar out of you. And it's based on your color, right?
I would say that's totally racist.
And it's hardcore. Now, how did you guys leave the country, and how did you get to your new home?
Well, when we left Rhodesia at that time, you were allowed to take what you could fit in your vehicle. So, you know, my parents with five children, one newly born and premature, you can't fit very much more than that in one vehicle. So they left behind about 20 years of work and income, etc., and left. And we then went to Southwest Africa, where my dad got a very good job. And we lived there for about 10 years, I would say. But
Southwest Africa, give me the country, because a lot of times it's confusing for people.
It's now Namibia.
Okay.
It was a kind of a state of South Africa. South Africa was in charge of it. It was originally a German colony, and South Africa then was asked to take it under their wing and look after Southwest Africa. So,
all right, so now you're about 18, right?
No. When I left Southwest Africa, but when we got there, when we left Rhodesia, I was about 8.
Right.
And
was it peaceful over those 10 years?
Yes, it was relatively peaceful, but the South Africans were fighting a war against communists on the Angola border. Now, Angola borders onto what was Rhodesia, and we were fighting the Cubans and the Russians and SWAPO and a whole lot of other communist groups on the borders there. And we lived on the border of town. It was just bush. We were the last street in the town. And we were held captive in our house for 3 days by some terrorists passing through on their way to South Africa to plant bombs in South Africa. Although none of us were really badly hurt or anything like that, it was not a very nice thing to live through. And once more, my dad said, look here, he's got five young kids and we can't live through it again. And we left and went to South Africa. Well, South Africa was wonderful for a while. It was really wonderful, a beautiful country, first world, everything clean, most people employed, including the blacks. It was a great country. But then...
Hold on, did the blacks and whites get along there then?
Relatively well. And there are terrible stories about how the blacks were oppressed during the apartheid years. But apartheid lasted 40 years, from 1948 to 1988. And yes, we did have segregation. That was what apartheid was, segregation. And yes, as in any country, there were bad things that happened.
And by the way, we're not saying that's good. But what we're saying is compared to pandemonium and people being raped and murdered and killed and beaten and, you know what, even though segregation is not our favorite choice, it's a whole lot better than the alternative and what had happened in your past locations of living, right?
Yes, absolutely. But Nelson Mandela then decided that they weren't going to get anywhere in South Africa by peaceful means. So they formed the Umkhonto Sizwe, which is the spear of the nation, the armed wing of the ANC, who were then trained by the Cubans and the Russians to infiltrate back into South Africa and create chaos. So they started planting bombs in public areas of police stations, railway stations, restaurants.
In other words, you're saying they engaged in terrorist criminal activity. Nelson Mandela pitched as a great guy for peace, but it's all a lie. And they were absolutely violent. They were terroristic, and they simply were criminals.
Absolutely. They were criminals. So when Nelson Mandela was arrested, he had 170-odd charges against him for trying to overthrow the government, for sedition, for all kinds of things like that. He pled guilty to 154 of those charges. He didn't even contest them. But the rest he had an argument with. So the South African government decided that they weren't going to hang him because the death sentence was still legal in those days, because they didn't want to make a martyr of him. So they put him in jail for life. Now, I cannot see even today any government not doing that with the charges he was faced with. But he became this icon of peace, man of peace, this whatever.
Almost like a Martin Luther King Jr. in America.
Yes. And in 1985, when the Prime Minister of South Africa went to see him and offered him unconditional release from jail, which he wasn't in at that time. He was living in a house with a butler and a valet and things. But anyway, when they offered him unconditional freedom, if he would renounce violence, he refused. So they kept him in jail, because he refused to renounce violence. And we didn't want any more bombings going on. Although they were still happening, obviously, even though he was in jail, they still happened. But under pressure of that...
In other words, he was kind of like a mafia leader. He could still pull the strings from prison.
Yes, he did. He did that. And of course, once he was in his house on the jail grounds and entertaining politicians from all over the world in his jailhouse, he had much more freedom. And of course, his wife Winnie Mandela was still free and out of jail and free to pass on whatever needed to be done. So no, he didn't stop while he was in jail. But under pressure of sanctions, the internal terrorism going on and the war going on our northern border, the South Africans were asked in 1992 whether we should continue to have a dialogue with the ANC in order to create power sharing, which gave the blacks a share in government and the whites a share as well. So the population being very tired, very worn out, and very overtaxed to pay for all of this, voted yes, we should continue a dialogue with the ANC. Well, within 2 years, the ANC were in power. The whites had no voice in anything. And
not much of a dialogue sounds pretty racist to me. Why don't they share power? But that's another tale. So you were 10 years in Southwest Africa. Then you went to South Africa for how long?
I lived there until 5 years ago, and I'm now 62.
Okay, so for a long time.
A very long time.
And was it peaceful?
Well, in the beginning it was peaceful, yes. But unfortunately, as I said, the ANC caused unknown chaos in order to achieve control of the country. And the rest of the world sold us out to the ANC, and that was the end of that. And now it's not peaceful anymore.
All right, we're going to have to talk incredibly fast. Karen Smith with us, ladies and gentlemen. We've only got one segment left. I want to break down how things changed for her, how she got out, how she came to America, and most importantly, what's happening now and what we can do to help. Okay? And I'm also going to make sure you know how to get a hold of her radio show and what she's doing now so you can help as well. This is James Edwards, Political Cesspool Radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Welcome back. Get on the show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Karen Smith with us, ladies and gentlemen. She's known as Texas Rose. She lives in Texas now. She's been in the United States for the last 5 years. She immigrated to America. She first started out in Africa. Things went bad. They moved to Southwest Africa. Things went bad. They moved to South Africa. Things went bad. And at first it was peaceful. And then you started to say it started to get worse and worse and worse as the whites really got sent to the back of the bus. Is that the best way to describe it?
Yeah, I would say so.
Now, by the way, just for the record, we're not for anybody at the back of the bus.
No, no. only if the bus is full and that's the only seat available.
All right. And then what should happen is the men should let the women sit and the men should stand anywhere they want. But that's another discussion.
Yes. So today in South Africa, there are between 90 and 94 murders a day, mostly black on black, but at least two whites are being tortured and murdered per day in South Africa. Now, the whites are about between 5 and 8% of the population. I can't give you exact numbers on anything because the media is in a total blackout in South Africa and you're not allowed to report on these things. So, but we do know that about two whites a day are being tortured to death in South Africa. And I mean tortured. They're burnt.
And are they being tortured by other whites?
No. There is virtually zero white-on-black crime. There is some white-on-white crime. There's obviously white-collar crime committed by whites. But no, violent crimes are not committed by the whites.
All right. So how did you get out? Let's ask that. How did you come to America?
I met an American online. He came to South Africa to meet me. He stayed there for 2 years, but he couldn't get a job because whites are excluded from the job market. And he said, we're going home because a man who's a man supports his wife, not the other way around. So we came to America, but it took me an awfully long time to get my paperwork together, to get a visa, to be able to come here. It's not as easy as people think it is, and the South African government deliberately delays giving you the paperwork you need so that you cannot leave.
And why if they want to put whites at the back of the bus, why wouldn't they welcome them leaving? I don't get it.
Because although the whites are only about 5% of the population, and approximately 1.5 million of them are working, they pay 85% of the taxes in South Africa. So they don't want to lose their tax base.
I see. So there's not many jobs, but when there is, they clean their clocks tax-wise. Is there a difference between blacks and whites and their taxation levels?
No, not really. But the thing is that the blacks won't pay their taxes, you know, so they don't submit a tax form, etc. And generally, the big businesses are still owned by whites or white corporations.
They don't
want to let you go. You know, at the same time as not wanting you complaining every day, as this week has been.
In other words, no offense, but you might not have a slavery in the traditional sense. What you really got, though, is a back-of-the-bus group of people that were only going to keep you here for your work. It's almost worse than slavery because you got to take care of yourself on top of the abuse heaped upon you. Virtually, you got a class of white slaves in South Africa right now, virtually speaking, right?
We cannot leave. Whites in South Africa, they are not welcome in any country. It is really, really hard for them to escape South Africa. And for the 1 million of them living in camps with no income, no jobs, no money, they live in cardboard houses built out of cardboard boxes and pieces of wood and road signs with no electricity, no running water, no pollution blocks, no nothing. How do they leave? They'll never have the money to leave. So they're literally caught there, and the world is refusing to declare South Africa unsafe for them, so they cannot get asylum or refugee status anywhere in the world. So they are stuck there to be killed. And that's it.
All right. Now, what? Tell me about your radio program and what it's what it does, and I guess you're the leader of an organization as well, right?
Yes. I'm on Radio Free South Africa, which is on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and also on Resolution Radio on Blog Talk, where you can catch a replay of this show every week. You can also find Sonny Thomas and a few others on that radio station. I also am the American voice for South African Family Relief Project, which is a charity which helps to feed, house, get to the doctor, put floors in, supply blankets, everything for the 1 million whites living in abject poverty in South Africa. I also raise money for people to pay for visas and air tickets if they can get out of South Africa, and I help them with money to get settled whatever country they go to.
What's the most realistic country to get to cost-wise or realistically, refugee-wise, or what status can they get?
You can go as an immigrant, and that's about all. There are no countries in the world that take you as a refugee or as an asylee. So it's a very hard thing for South Africans because you can't immigrate without money. No country wants you if you're going to be a burden on their system. So it's incredibly hard for South Africans to leave or go anywhere else.
But if we can get them somewhere, where's the easiest place for them to go?
We are trying at the moment, and there are a couple of organizations that I'm working with the government of Belarus, of Hungary, of Poland, and of Uruguay, to try and get status for them there that we can airlift them out and get them a South African homeland somewhere else. But those countries have not given the okay yet. We're working very hard at it because things in South Africa have taken a turn for the worst in the last week with the attempts to ask the present president, Jacob Zuma, and put Julius Malema in his place. Now, Julius Malema has called for total nationalization. He says that whites must go. He follows Zimbabwe's example. And he is all for killing all the whites. So if he gets into power, things are going to be 100 times worse than they already are. So I really think that there's a need for speed for these things to happen.
What timetable might he be elected, and what are the likelihood that he is?
The elections are this year and the next year, sorry, and the chances are about 80% that he will be elected.
So 2017, 80%, we got a timeline of about a year and a half to really put some plans in place, don't we?
Yes, we do. And I would really urge people, please, 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 to go to my website, radiofreesouthafrica.com.
Say it again.
Make a donation. radiofreesouthafrica.com. Make a donation there. If you wanted to go to the people suffering in South Africa, just say so on the donation. If you wanted to help, to go to helping people get out of South Africa, please say so on the donation. Those donations.
What do you think is the better plan for those who care and want to help? Is it better to try to help people get out, or better to help people try to, get above the poverty line and feed themselves in place? It's hard to know. The in place thing might be cheaper, but it might be short lived, as you experienced over and over and over, right?
Yes, and the problem is, if they buy a farm, which we're trying to do in South Africa right now, to reskill and get these people back into the job market, that if that farm is nationalized and taken over by the blacks, you've thrown all that money away. So we're not sure what we should be doing, because we can't get them out. We cannot get visas and immigration status for them. But we also can't stop feeding them while they're living in poverty there. So We're working on both fronts right now, get as many out as we can, and keep feeding and housing the people that we can't get out until some country takes pity on them and we can get them all out.
And right now, it's a crapshoot of which country that might be. For some reason, there's a big global desire to help refugees, unless you're white.
Or Christian. And unfortunately,
or Christian. Good point.
Christians are both.
South white Christians are both. Christians, wow.
Yes. So the chances of, unless there's a civil war in South Africa and the world has to pay attention, which is coming, because Malema said this week that he and his people will oust the ANC through the barrel of a gun. He said that on three occasions this week. If that happens, we may get the world to turn around and say, okay, white refugees are acceptable. But it's going to have to be a slaughter before the world governments change their minds.
And they may not even change their minds if the mainstream press blocks it out. They may just leave it as the untalked about, I don't want to say ghetto exactly, but I would call them tyranny camps.
Yes, yes. Because for 21 years, they've said nothing. So I'm afraid, I don't know. Sam,
because it's almost, if they say something now, they're going to have to admit to it. That's going to be a hard thing to do, because then the details come out. They might just basically ignore the whole thing. I pray they don't. We got to work towards the fact that they won't. I don't care if it's white or black or anybody else. When anybody's in complete poverty and anybody is under threat of violence and abuse, especially women and children, it's time, ladies and gentlemen, to take action. Your website again, Karen.
RadioFreeSouthAfrica.com.
All right, now, people can tune into your show. People can go to your website and learn more. You're also available to talk to people and work on this. I've set the stage, and James Edwards plans to have you back over the next just year, year and a half to keep track of what's happening here. James will be following up with you to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, you will hear more. We'll have a chance to take calls on future broadcasts, etc. If you could say anything to the world, what would you say, Karen? You've got about 20 seconds.
Please, please, please help the South Africans. They are in a state that you would never believe. Please, they need help, and they can't do it on their own.
Give me your website, please.
RadioFreeSouthAfrica.com.
Thank you, Karen. Godspeed.
Thank you, Sam. Good night.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, third hour, incredible interview, Gene Andrews in seconds.